prayer that we have on a bookmark that we give to every visitor and guest who has the courage to stand up during the announcements. And it actually is a prayer from Colossians 1. Just a beautiful prayer. We have it titled at the top, Transforming Prayer. On the back, there's our vision statement and a list of the services here at St. John's. It's a takeaway for them. But it's a beautiful prayer from Colossians, and I just want to commend it to you. If there are moments in your life where you're not really quite sure what to pray, especially in light of all that's going on in the world right now, you can pray from the Scriptures. And this prayer from Colossians 1, it's actually Colossians 1, 9-12, is a great one to use. By the way, as you leave here today, if you don't have one of these bookmarks, they're on either side on a cabinet as you leave the narthex. Feel free to pick that up. And there's a reason why I prayed that prayer from Colossians, because I'm going to spend some time with you today in our reading in Colossians in your bulletin. So I invite you to turn there with me. You know, sometimes you just need to spend some time in the Scripture and just and do that. And so that's what I'm going to do with you this morning. You'll be glad to hear that I'm not going to do the whole lesson of Colossians. I know that'll make you very excited today. I'm just going to do a part of it. And I'm grateful to do that as well. By the way, aloha from the land of aloha, Hawaii. Jan and I and the family just got back recently, actually, and I'm just getting now used to the time zone here again. So it's a good thing I'm not speaking till today, because it wouldn't have been pretty otherwise. But it's great to be back with all of you. And today I want to focus in with you on the words of the Apostle Paul in our bulletin today that focus in on the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And I think it's one of the important things that you and I can focus in on today, and again, in light of all that's going on in the world. You know, in light of what's happening, a lot of people can lose heart. There can be increasing levels of fear. Sometimes it feels like things are coming unhinged at the wheels, if you will. But one of the things I want to celebrate with you here today is that around the throne of God, all is well. There is peace. God is being worshiped at this very moment. And as we gather here today, we're participating in that sacrifice of worship to Him. God is holy and almighty, and God is still the ruler of the universe. And I think often you and I need to come back to that place like we do here on this morning as we worship God, to just remember about who ultimately is in control and who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And so as we look at this verse here in Colossians, the first verse there, Paul shares with the Colossians and with us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You know, sometimes people have asked me, what would God do if he was on the earth right now, if this situation was occurring, what would God's action be? What would God look like? And always what I say to a person who asks that question is, read God's word, and especially read the New Testament, and begin to get a vision and understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. Because the reality is, Jesus makes God visible. And that's what Paul is proclaiming in this very first sentence in Colossians 1, where he says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. In fact, the firstborn of all creation. And so if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what God is about, if you want to know what God is doing, you have only to consider the example of Jesus Christ throughout the New Testament, a person of incredible love. Divinity meeting humanity, reaching out in miraculous ways, powerful and yet very vulnerable, to the point of crying over friends who have died. And so this is who God is as exemplified in the life of Jesus, his son. Going on from here, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. That basically covers it all, doesn't it? And what it says to me, and I hope it says to you, is that Jesus is intricately related to his creation. You know, often as we think about the creation, as we look at the creation story in Genesis, we rightly think about God the Father. But what Paul is bringing out in Colossians is a divine revelation, I believe, that God gave him. And that is, as the Father was creating, Jesus was also intricately a part of creation as well, in a very powerful and profound way. not only in a material sense in terms of the things that you and I see in the creation, but also in terms of relationships. And that's what it's talking about here today. It's talking about not only things visible, but invisible as well. Thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So you see, when we talk about the creation, when Paul expounds about it in Colossians, he's not only talking about things that you and I can touch and feel, but he's talking about relationships. Relationships between us as human beings, as well as spiritual relationships. Relationships within the angelic host, and also the demonic as well. These are all relationships that are part of creation, both in the heavens and the earth. Let's go on. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Again, Paul keeps on pounding this and pounding this and pounding this, that at the very beginning, Jesus existed with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that we teach within the ancient apostolic faith within this church. And that the reality of that is that part of Jesus' reality is that he holds all things together within the creation. Now, I don't know about you, but I never even thought about the reality that creation needed to be held together. I just thought it was all together anyways. I never even entered my mind, honestly. But as I read this, obviously there's an issue here. Creation needs to be held together in some way, shape, or form. And in fact, it's interesting the depths to which that's true. A few years ago, I had an opportunity to share with some of you about a wonderful teacher by the name of Louis Giglio, who was preparing a teaching on the human body. And as he was preparing this teaching in his travels, he hadn't done the teaching yet, and he happened to meet this molecular biologist of all acquaintances he could have. And they began to talk about this teaching that he was very excited about, that he was going to be doing on the creation of God and how beautiful it was and how God is worshipped in creation and about the beauty of the human body and all this kind of stuff. And this molecular biologist asked Louis, well, what's your punchline? You got to have a punchline. And Louis thought for a moment. He says, you know what? I don't have a punchline. I don't have a crescendo to this message. And he goes, you know what? I have the crescendo to your message. Because the guy was getting real excited as Louis was sharing this. He goes, your punchline is laminin. Yes, some of you are looking perplexed right now, but that's okay. I'm going to explain what laminin is. It's not a laminate on your floor, but rather laminin is a protein cell adhesion molecule. Say that 10 times. It's a protein cell adhesion molecule. And so laminin is actually a cell within your body that holds everything together. It is the glue. It is the rebarb of the human body. And it holds everything together. And so Louis was very excited to hear this about this molecular biology. He goes, you know, this is great. This is wonderful about laminin. And the molecular biologist said, I'm not done yet. There's even more. Do you know what laminin looks like when we look at it underneath a microscope? Do you know what that cell looks like in the human body? It's in the shape of a cross. Now, I hope some of you kind of are skeptical about this. I hope some of you are saying, boy, the preacher's really going off the end this time. He's really making up some story here just to make this point. I hope you're just wondering about that and you Google it later on, laminin, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Do it and take a look at that cell. Yeah, write it out, L-A-M-I-N-I-N. This is my brother Tim. I love him. But you check it out. Yeah, you look at it, brother. Make a picture of it. It's powerful. It's in the shape of a cross. I don't know what that means to you, but it means something to me. And what it means to me is that at the very beginning, when God created our cells, the very building blocks of our human body, God put a sign there when we started about the cross and how the cross was going to hold everything together. And here Paul is talking about, under divine inspiration, not even knowing about the molecule laminin, the Holy Spirit knew, inspiring him to write these words about how Jesus Christ holds everything together. And so you see, beloved, as we gather here in this place and we celebrate the Lordship and the saving grace that is found uniquely in Jesus Christ, we celebrate the reality that the very center of our body, of what holds us together, is a cell that is in the shape of a cross. And as you and I gather in this place to worship the Lord God Almighty every week, we come to an altar whose center and focus is the cross of Jesus Christ. And uniquely in this church, a cross of nails. And it is in this place that we gather and we acknowledge and worship the one who holds everything together in our life. And I firmly believe that the only reason why our earth, the only reason why humanity hasn't blown it to bits already with all of the nuclear weapons we already have and all of the opportunities we've already had to obliterate it 20 times over is because of the mercy of God. God, through Jesus, is still holding things together for you and for me, because he's not done yet. He's not done with his church. He's not done with you. He's not done with your life or the life of your enemy or the lives of the people in this world. Some of you may be wondering, well, Father Joe, this is really nice about Jesus holding everything together, but why does it seem like the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Why does it seem like everything is so divided and breaking apart and people killing each other and things seem to be building and building in that direction more and more? Why is that going on? It's because people aren't coming to the cross. It's because people aren't coming to Jesus. And dare I say, a lot of people, even within the church of Jesus Christ, aren't coming to the cross. We got to come back to the cross. We got to come back to this place and kneel before this cross. And I want to make a personal invitation here. A boy raised Roman Catholic, you would never, ever even dare to breach the altar and go up into that place. Only the priest went up there. Well, I'm inviting you here today as we celebrate the reality of how Christ holds everything together through the power of his cross to come up around communion. After you receive communion today, feel free to go around here and come up here and just touch the cross. And in a very real and powerful way, embrace the cross in your life and all that it means for you and me, that through Jesus Christ and his cross and his sacrifice for you and me, he is holding everything together, even at this moment. As the church comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ and truly and deeply repents of their sin and their waywardness from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then by God's grace, the world will begin to be drawn back to the cross. God's going to use his church. God's going to use his people to be a light in this hour. Final part of this scripture I'll cover with you today. Look back in the Colossians there. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What does the supremacy of Jesus mean for you and for me and all of us here today? It means the fullness of God. It means reconciliation. It means peace. It means the fulfillment of God's plan for your life and my life in creation. And in this hour, more than anything else, God is calling forth his people to enter in more fully into the designs that God has for them at this moment. And so I have a homework assignment for each of us here today. As homework assignments go, I would hope that you would begin to work on it as soon after this service as you could, so you wouldn't forget about it. But if you want to wait a little bit on it, you can. But this is the homework assignment. I want you to ask the Lord a couple of questions. And again, I'm not looking for your thoughts on this or your visions or your goals or your plans. I'm not looking for what you're going to come up with in your own mind or your own imagination. I'm asking you to go before the Lord and ask him, first of all, Jesus, what's my purpose now? You know, it says in this reading from Colossians that he holds all things together. That would include you and me. It says that he is the center of all creation, and you're a part of that creation. And so I invite you along with me to ask the Lord, Jesus, what is your purpose for me right now? What do you have for me right now? What do you want me to be doing in my relationships and in people with me? What do you want me to be doing in this world right now? Instead of watching the TV and just haranguing about how bad things are, or reading the paper and just putting it down and forgetting about it, Lord, I am part of your body in this moment. I am alive in this moment because you have meant me to be alive in this moment. Believe it. What would you have me do? What is your purpose for me right now? And secondly, along that line, Jesus, what are the dimensions? What are the depths? What's your vision for me in terms of the fullness that you have for me? The reconciliation you want to bring me into, and the peace that is uniquely mine. And then be open to the things that God will speak to you. Be open first and foremost to be reconciled in your relationship with God. I ask you here today, is Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior? If he's your Savior, if you've come to him, if you've said, Lord, I'm going to follow you, you're the Lord of my life, I'm going to let you be my Savior, I need your forgiveness of my sins, thank God for that. That's awesome. And is he your Lord? Are you listening to him? Are you following his direction and your guidance, his guidance? And if in some part of your life you are not, are you willing to bend the knee today and begin to do that? And be open to the reconciliation and the light and the love and the fullness and the peace that he wants to bring you into. You know, so often we are shaking our fist at the world, aren't we? So often we are angry at different people for doing this and for doing that. So often we are saying to ourselves, if only they would get their act together, everything would be okay. And guess what? God is taking that pointing finger this morning and using me to point it right back at you. And God is using me, I believe, this morning to invite you and invite me to come back to him. Are we going to be singing Deep Within today, Glenn?
No.
I want you to sing that song today. He sang that song last night. It was so powerful, so timely, so much for now. And so, Glenn, yes, please sing that song today. And as we sing that song today, I want you to sing it with a sense of a prayer. That deep within, God would move within your heart. Because what God is doing is he's calling forth his body. He's calling forth you and me to get right with him. For his church to come back to him with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. And then from there, God is going to branch out and move out through the power of his Spirit to touch this world in this hour. Father Joe, you keep talking about this. You keep bringing this up. I'm getting tired of you mentioning it. Well, guess what? You're going to get a lot more tired because I'm going to keep bringing it up because this is our hour. This is our time. This is our moment. I feel it in my spirit. I see it in things that are going on right now. And I want to encourage you to be part of God's call in this moment to his body. You are a city set on a hill. You are his light. You are his hope in this moment. You are temples of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Embrace all that he has for you.